scripture, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You remember that old song? The other day I was thinking about that song. It's called At the Cross. And this is just the refrain or the whatever part of it. It's not the whole thing. But it says, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the days. Let me say it again. It says, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Well, isn't that true? When we came to Christ at the cross, the burdens flew off. And still today, rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. It's talking about spiritually. And now I am happy all the days. That was written or redone by Ralph Hudson in 1885. Can you imagine? In 1885. All those old songs say a lot. Let's lift up our Bibles. Make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Romans, before I read the scripture, the book of Romans is the sixth book in the New Testament. That doesn't mean that it was the sixth book written in the New Testament, because they were written at different times, and then they put it in order, you know. But it doesn't mean that it was the sixth book in the New Testament written, okay? But it is the sixth book in our Bibles. But the sixth book of the New Testament of Romans, the book of Romans, was written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. And they have differing times as I was looking when it was written, but thank God it was written and given to us. God knows what the church, the body of Christ, needs. But in this scripture, talking about Romans chapter 8, look at verse 28. And it says this, "For we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are called according to His purpose." Let me read it again. "And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." Very unique scripture. This scripture probably is, in without a doubt, one of the most quoted scriptures by Christians in the entirety of the Word of God. I mean, it's like, you know, there's John 3:16. Everybody knows that scripture and quotes it. Romans 8:28, a lot of Christians know it because of maybe certain storms of life that they go through. So they say, you know, in Romans 8:28, "For we know that all things work together for good." And that is because it's the Word of God, we know that it's true. That all things, if we account to God all things in our life, that all things work together for good. Now, we may not like what's going on. It may seem like what's going on in our lives at that certain time will not work out for our good. But according to the Word of God, God says, "For all things," what? "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." They work together for good on our behalf. I know probably every one of us has gone through many, many trials, many storms of life. And there's probably not a person in here that hasn't been hurt or done wrong by. I know that. That's life. By things. But you see, we still need to remember what the Word of God says. That all things work together for good. For good. Now, we don't like to think maybe sometimes that God is working it out for our good, but He is. See, that's where faith comes in, to believe God and to hold on to Him and say, okay, Lord, You're working it out for not so much my neighbor's good, and that he may be, or my spouse's good, and he may be, or for my children's good, but He's working it out for Your good, for You, the storms of life. And yes, we may not like what comes about. Hey, there's some things I don't like. I'll be honest with you. I mean, you know, I'm always honest with you. Well, I guess it's to imply pressure. You get it? No. To imply. There's some things I don't like. But you see, that's not for me to judge in those areas. That's for me to say, Lord, You're working it out for my good, no matter what's going on. Even the storms of life. Even the storms of life. God causes everything to work together for good. But we must respond properly, people. We have to respond properly. We must look to Him and ask, God, what are You doing in my life? That's the question you need to ask. As a pastor, there are certain things that come up that I have to deal with. That's just how it goes. That's how it goes. Some things I don't want to deal with, honestly. Just as a parent, some things we don't want to deal with, huh? Yeah, I understand. Can I have a few more hands and feet? I know. Hey, look. But how do you respond to those things, people? How do we respond as a Christian filled by the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us? How do we respond? You have to understand, I go back to the book of Job. Remember, Job went through horrible things. We know that. Job was, that's not in my notes, but Job was the richest man known at that time. Richest man on earth, people. Riches, was that? Material. And he was blessed. Children, you know, I mean, they were kind of messed up, but need a little help. But materially wise, he was rich. And this man, if you look and you read there's other things you can read. This man helped many, many people. The homeless, the widowers. This man gave and helped. He did a lot. And you know, he must have been a lot of trouble for Satan. Because Satan asked God, can I do this? And I know I've spoken about this before, this little tidbit. That God, the devil has to go to God and ask permission, people. If he can do whatever he wants to do to us. That comforts my heart and comforts your heart, knowing that your God and my God is in control. That as a Christian, born again, Spirit-filled, that God is in control. That the devil's not in control of your life. Sometimes we think it, though. Let's say the truth. Sometimes we think it. But just because we think it doesn't make it true. What's truth is what the Word of God says and what it is. And Satan had to go to some part of the throne room of God and ask some permission. Could he take all of his possessions, destroy everything, kill his children, everything, everything, And God said, you can do whatever you want, but you can't take his life. And can you imagine in a day or so losing all of your wealth? That amounts to losing your job to us today. Huh? That puts us in a little tizzy there. Okay. But he lost everything, including his children, his family, everything. And he even had some of his best friends come and say, why don't you just curse God and get it over with? Why don't you just, you know, what did you do wrong? And he did nothing wrong, people. The will of God. God is in control, people. God is in control. God is in control. God is in control. What are you doing? Or we must look to him and ask, what are you doing in my life? The six purposes that motivate God for allowing storms of life. There's six things. You can boil them down. Number one is to cleanse us, people. The cleansing process of our God. The cleansing process, as mentioned in Psalms. You might say, well, why would God allow certain things to happen? Because you see, sometimes when things happen, that's when we fall on our knees. And we say, Lord, what's going on? And God starts to come in. And not that we were evil. That's not. No. But he starts to cleanse certain areas. We start to see things that we never saw before. We start to see things, and God comes in and shows us areas and starts to cleanse our heart. And we can see that in Psalms, where David, you know, because of things that he did and brought the storms of life upon himself, it says in Psalms 51, you know what? Cleanse my heart. Cleanse my heart. How he called out to God to cleanse his heart. Number two. God will allow the storms of life for companionship. You might say, Pastor, what do you mean? God desires that we walk in an intimate relationship with him. We must be reading his word, listening to him, and talking to him, and seeking his mind and heart to find his will for our life. Psalms 57, verse 1 to 3. His will for our life. Companionship. You know, sometimes when things are going so well, that we start to avoid this. I mean, really, not that there's evil in our heart. Oh, no, please don't get me wrong at all. But because things are going so well, that we start to avoid his word. And we always have to remember this is a love letter to us, to his people. Psalms 57, it says, verse 1 and 3, to the chief musician, his name, of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of the wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me, he shall send me from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Now when King Saul was after him, he was calling out. He was calling out King David. Well, I say King David because God had anointed him king. But he was running away from Saul, and Saul had vowed to kill him. And David could not trust any man, but he said, I'll trust God. What was happening was he was building that companionship with the Father. Let me tell you something. I've seen God move in areas where I never thought, my God, what would happen? When I thought all was lost, people, God's mercy and God's grace would come in and show me things. And I said, oh my God, thank you. And I know with you also, going through the storms of life, things that have happened, that when all things were lost, it seems like, you turned to Him. You turned to Him. And you saw God in a way that you never would have saw Him before if it wasn't for that storm of life at that time. You became friends. He was your Savior. He was your Lord. But He became your friend. And it's like you saw something in Him that you never saw before. He became your great, great friend. Companionship. 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 It says that in Scripture that the Lord longeth for thee. Longeth for thee. How many times have we spent days, maybe even weeks, and we had no companionship with Him? The Word was never open. The prayers that we prayed were just basic prayers, nothing. But it seemed like we pulled away from Him. Oh, I know it. We pulled away. And God allowed whatever to come. Why? Because of the love of Him towards us. Allowing whatever to come to pull us. It's like for Him to get His nails inside of our chest and pull us back. It's like, Joe, come. And I'll just use myself as an example. Come back. Come back to your first love. How many churches in Revelation where it talks about they left their first love? They left their first love. They left their first love. Anything besides Christ and what Christ did at Calvary's cross is losing the first love. Keeping your faith in Him. Keeping your faith in Him and in nothing that we have, but we keep our faith in Him, attaining to the goal of reaching Him and putting our faith in Him and Him alone. And that's all. Nothing that we have, but our faith is in Him and what He did at Calvary's cross. And when we do that, we have full faith in our God to move at will within our lives like never before. Praise God. Praise God. The church as a whole has got off tilted. If you're here and the goal is the cross and we get off just a smidgen, just this much, as the days go, you keep going in that direction, you're going to end up here and the cross is there. All it takes is one false doctrine. All it takes is one false evil thing. And it tilts you a little bit. And when you keep going in that direction, before long you're way over here. And you're not where God says to keep your eyes on. And then we get into some trouble. But thank God for the mercy of God. We've all been there, huh? Where because of the mercy of God, He draws us back to that companionship when we say, Father, forgive me. I'm so sorry. Lord, forgive me. And we turn our eyes back and we say, Lord, I fasten my heart upon You. It says that Paul said, I preach Christ and Him crucified. My God, that's what he preached. That's what he preached. That's what will save a people. That's what will deliver a people. That's what will give direction to a people as we put our faith in Him and Him alone. And in nothing else. Nothing else. Companionship. Companionship. Praise God. Conformity. Number three. Conforming to the likeness of His Son. That's what God is trying to do. The Holy Spirit is trying to conform or make us into what? His Son. His Son. We say, Pastor, there's a lot God has to do. That's right. In every one of us. There's a lot that God has to do. But just think of how far you've come. We often look at the negative, but look at the positive of how far you've come. How God has revealed His Word to you and how you're obeying His Word. How you have a little bit more patience, maybe. Or you have a little bit more joy. how you crave the things of God, how you love Him and what He's done in your heart and in your family's life. Praise God. That's what God is saying. I'm trying to conform him into having who Jesus was, to conform us, to make us, to mold us, to conform us into what he is. That's what he tries to do. Number four, he comforts us. Even through the storms of life, he comforts us. God does not always want to just do something in us, but often his ultimate goal is to do something through us. God works in us, but also God wants to work through us. God works in us, praise God, doing a work, but he often works through us. And that is his ultimate goal, to work through us. But if we want to be a blessing to others, you have to be broken. A vessel that's unbroken has very limited use. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Broken before God. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. It says this, that God comforts us, people. You know, whenever things are happening, always remember that the Holy Spirit is trying to comfort you. Trying to comfort you. Because you see, he knows, our God, your God, knows what it is to be tempted in all areas of life. He's the only God that came out of heaven, born of a virgin, became flesh, and walked upon the earth and tempted by everything in life. So he knows the things that you go through. He knows what it is to be tempted of the enemy. He knows what it is to be thrown scripture out of context from the enemy. He knows what it is. But having to stay in the realm of the flesh, earthly, till his time came. He knows what it is. He knows what it is to comfort. And people, this scripture has helped me tremendously, because I know this. He comforts us. He who comforts us in all our tribulation. The times that you've cried and you said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And the Holy Spirit just came into that place and he showed you a scripture, or you were just riding in your car and a song came on that touched your heart, or somehow a scripture was read over the radio or television, you were watching something or you read something and it comforted you. That was the Holy Spirit comforting you. Because it says that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. You know why? Because he knows when you come out of that thing, that you are going to be able to help people. And he's going to bring people your way, and you'll be able to point them to the cross of Calvary. You'll be able to point them to the right place where they need to put their faith in, so God could comfort them. It says, for us to be broken. When Jesus turned to his disciples and said, feed these people. And they looked to Jesus and they said, there's 5,000 people here, not counting the women and the children. And you telling us to feed them, we have no food. And Jesus said, okay. And then one of the disciples came and said, but there's a boy out there that has some fish and some loaves of bread. Jesus said, that's enough. And it says, as he took the fish and the bread, and he lifted it up to the Father, and he asked him to bless it, he took it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, feed the people. anything of our lives that we put in the hands of God, if He breaks it, which He needs us to be broken so we can feed the people, so we can help the people, when it's put in the hands of God, God can multiply it. God can make it help what needs to be helped at that time. And God fed all these people. Can you imagine? And after it was all over, they had 12 baskets full left. Because when it's put in the hands of God, He multiplies it and meets the needs. But when it's put in the hands of man, it becomes destroyed. It's useless. It's useless. It's useless. We need to be broken by our God, saying, Lord, break me so I can help many people by Your Spirit, Lord. Lord, break those things in my heart. Lord, break that pride spirit, Lord God. Break those things that have caused me to be put down low, Lord God. And Lord God, I surrender every part of my heart and every part of my life unto You, and letting God use You to be a vessel to touch this generation for the kingdom of God. In the hands of God, man may look at each and every one of us and say, look at that. Look. And we may even look at ourselves and say, oh my God. But I tell you what, your life in the hands of God will make you something. Your life in the hands of God will make you something. And He will make you into what He desires you to be, to touch the people that He brings about in your life, so He can be glorified, praised, and honored. He wants us to be a blessing to people. Number five, convictions. Pain and suffering solidifies your conviction that God is sufficient. He is with you and He will take care of you. That God is sufficient, nothing else. That He is the only one. He will take care of us, and also to change us. How God changed the Apostle Paul's life when he was on that Damascus road. He will change our lives. He will change our lives. Can you go back to that the main scripture, Romans 8:28? Romans 8:28. Just as the first part says, as we know that all things work together for good. But a lot of times we leave out the other parts, people. And we can't do that. Can't do it. We got to take the whole scripture. Or none at all. We got to take it all. And we all need God's help. And we all desire God's help in every aspect of our lives. And I know you desire that. I know I desire that. But it says this. There are some conditions to this promise. It says that God, and we know that all things work together for good, but there are some conditions, people, that have to be met. And number one, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I know you're probably saying, well, we love God. But do you truly love God? Do we truly love God that we would forsake everything and anything for Him? So you see, we can quote the scriptures, but there's a condition. There's a condition to them that love God. God. All things work together for good who have to love or love God. All as believers, we might automatically think it is a simple requirement, but it's not quite as simple as we may think. That is why Jesus, after His resurrection and immediately before His ascension, quoted Peter closely, and this is what he said. Go to John 21, verse 15, saying this. We have to love God, people. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, now before I read this, Simon Peter was a boastful man. He would boast. You can read the scriptures like, and he boasted how he loved God more than all the disciples. Probably he might have went as far as he loved God more than all the disciples, all the other ones put together. Being boastful. So here after the ascension and all this stuff, it says that Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yes, Lord, definitely. Thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. And he said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, thou lovest me? He said unto him, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, here we sing, he's saying, feed my sheep twice. I know he says it twice. And then he says the first time, feed my lambs. What God was trying to do was helping us see that, Simon, are you sure you love me? See, we all know God knows our hearts. And God knew the heart of Simon Peter. He said, look, Simon Peter, do you truly love me? Well, then feed, what? My lambs. Talking about new converts. New people coming to the Lord. Then he says the second time and third time, feed my sheep. Talking about mature Christians. But he was trying to get them to realize that, Simon, you don't love me like you think you do. You don't love me like you think you do. You don't love me like you think you do. And so we need to realize that we need to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you might say, well, how can I do that, Pastor? Well, number one is to spend time with Him. Get to know your God. And say, Father, put a love in my heart for you like never before. That's just like, you know, and I know we can't put an earthly love to a godly love. There's a difference. But you know what? When you love somebody, truly love somebody, you will do what you can for them. Even though maybe things weren't right between the two. At times. You know, a husband and wife may fight as far as argue, but they love one another. They'll come together, ask forgiveness, and God will move in and cleanse our hearts and do whatever. But they love one another. They love one another. If we love our God, if we love our God, we need to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That means everything, people. Everything. Everything. Not holding back. And if there are areas in our hearts that we do hold back, that we ask God to help us. We ask God to help us. It says this, if we love God, obey His commandments. If you say you love me, obey me. That's a hard pill to swallow, huh? All of us. I know it. I know it. But if we love Him, we have to obey Him. And His Spirit is moving. And His Spirit is talking to people. His Spirit. Go back to that Romans 8:28, please. Okay. Read it again. Thank you. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, number one. And number two, to them who are called according to His purpose. To them who are called according to His purpose. The second requirement that we function in is His calling for our lives according to His purpose. So many times it is our purpose instead of His purpose. His purpose. His purpose in what He wants to do. Moreover, we cannot know that for which He truly has called us, for what His purpose is for our lives, unless our faith is properly anchored in Christ, in what He did at Calvary's cross. So here we see His purpose, called to His purpose, not our purpose. Not our purpose. We need to love God, and we need to do His purpose. His purpose. And we know that all things work together for good. If we love God, and we want with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we want His purpose, well, then we can have the first part of the promise. And that is that we know that all things work together for good to them. To them. To Him. We can have what God wants us to have. We can have God move in our hearts like never before if we allow Him to move and do what He wants to do. Letting Him move like He wants to move. Amen. You may stand, please. Oh, thank You, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. How great is He, Father. How great You are, Lord. Do You truly love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? You know, sometimes we have to rededicate people, our lives back to Him. We don't want to get off tilted. We don't want to get off balance. We don't want to go in a different direction and we don't realize it. But do you love Him? And do you want His purpose and His purpose only? His purpose and His purpose only. I want you, why don't you get that song, How Great Thou Art? Let's play that song. How great is He? How great is He? You know, as we sing this song this morning, rededicate your heart to Him. Saying, Lord, You need these areas that maybe that have I have grown cold in towards You. Lord, put the fire of Your Spirit back in. Let God move like never before. Rededicate your love back to the Father. And allowing the Holy Spirit to move like never before. Amen. You can start. You can.